So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. In the oldest copies, and therefore most likely to represent the original version of the Gospel of Mark, these words with which we ended our reading today, these are the very last words of the Gospel. That's right. Biblical scholars of ancient texts believe that not only is Mark probably the first Gospel written, but that his Gospel ended right there. Three women go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They find the tomb empty. A messenger from God tells them that Jesus has been raised, instructs them to tell Peter and the other disciples, but they are so awestruck and afraid, they said nothing to anyone. Imagine how different Easter would be if that were the end of the Gospel as we know it. Imagine if the end of the story was, but they were too afraid to tell anyone. Now, to be clear, we know this is not the end of the story. We do have later versions of the Gospel of Mark that fill out the story, and all the other Gospels clearly indicate that Mary Magdalene and the other women did indeed share the story. They did tell the others. We even have commentary in Luke which indicates the disciples didn't believe the women when they reported what they had seen and heard. But the way Mark originally wrote the story, the way the Gospel was first written, as best we can tell, is with fear having the final word. And that for me raises a question, a big question, a question which makes a huge difference in Mark's Gospel as we read it today, no matter what other endings were later added, no matter what the other Gospels say, in Mark's story, fear has the final word. So, what about you? What about us? That's the question. Are we living as if fear has the final word? That's the Easter question. Year after year, we gather here on Easter Sunday. Year after year, we hear the good news. Christ is risen, and we shout, He is risen, hallelujah. We sing hymns proclaiming that death has no sting, that life is the final word, that we can face every challenge, every struggle, every valley of shadow, knowing that life, not death, has the final word. But do we live as if fear is the final word? Does the joy we share make a difference? The good news of this day, the good news of this day is that it can, it should, it must, it does. It does make a difference. As I was thinking about this sermon, I thought of several examples. When we face health struggles in the lives of our loved ones, dear ones, friends, do we just sink in despair? No. We give of ourselves. We care for one another. We love one another. We sit by sick beds offering conversation and prayer. We deliver food. We send cards. We drive our friends to appointments. We bear witness to God's love. By carrying that love in our hearts through our own actions, we offer ourselves as signs that we believe. that God is with us, even in suffering. We bear witness to God's promise that in the pain, in the confusion, in the discomfort, in the waiting, even in death, God is with us, embracing us, loving us, offering peace to soothe fear, comfort to lessen suffering, hope to lift pain. When those around us are sick or suffering or dying, do we turn and run away in fear, saying nothing, doing nothing because we are afraid? No. We proclaim through words and deeds, God is life, God is love. We are here to bear witness to that love for one another. What about us? Do we live as if fear is the final word? I begin thinking about this world, this society which we live in which the gap between those who have and those who do not grows and grows, in a nation in which 1% of the people hold more wealth than the entire middle class put together, in which 20% of folks, people in all demographics, have almost nothing, many regularly having to decide whether to buy food or buy medicine or pay utility bills, in a world where economic opportunity is demonstrably less equitable, in which the playing field is less level, in which a smaller and smaller handful of billionaires have their hands on more and more of the levers of power, do we give in to despair? No. We continually give of ourselves, helping one another, generously sharing our resources, offering ourselves in love. We send children to camp. We send youth to service learning events like the youth gathering and the week of service at the dwelling. We purchase groceries for neighbors. We do service projects for youth from Kappa. We restarted the chili cook-off to help the Good Neighbor Medical Clinic. We help others with bills both in and out of the congregation through the Love Fund. We pass budgets that include funds to help others through our local agencies. And significantly, we remind ourselves regularly that the scriptures are clear, that God proclaims again and again that those who have resources, power, blessings, wealth, whatever you want to call it, are, according to God, indeed responsible for caring for those who have less. We remind ourselves that we cannot let fear that we might not have enough, fear that things might get tight for us later. We remind ourselves we cannot let fear prevent us from doing what we can to support and help one another as we're able right now. What about us? Do we live as if fear is the final word? In a culture where so many are tied up in knots about so many issues related to sexuality, issues related to racism and race relations, issues related to politics, do we let fear that some might disagree, might become upset, do we let fear stop us from proclaiming God's love is for all people? No. We continue to say it again and again, over and over. It's printed on our bulletin every single week. We hear the good news of God's love in worship and scripture, and that means all people are welcomed and valued, no exceptions. As followers of Jesus, we continue to be dedicated to wrestling with the reality that God's love is even bigger than we can imagine. Bigger than we're sometimes comfortable with. So big it obligates us to face our own lack of grace when we realize God wants us to love people whom we might prefer not to love. Do we shrink in fear from a gospel that continually calls us to stretch and grow? No, we do not. We embrace opportunities to wrestle with God's calling as they arise. Friends, is the good news. The gospel writer Mark tells us today that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Salome were so dumbstruck by finding the tomb empty and meeting a messenger from God and hearing this news that Jesus was alive, really actually alive, they were so shocked and stunned by God's grace experienced at the empty tomb that they fled and ran away and told no one what they had seen or heard. But the good news is God still loved them. And God's grace, God's spirit, God's love was still at work in them despite falling for a moment to fear. And we know from the other endings added to Mark later, from the other gospels, from history, from church history, the history of God's people, we know that by God's power, they did not stay stuck in that fear. They became proclaimers. Evangelists, apostles even. They joined with other disciples, other men and women, all the people who experienced Jesus, who met the living Lord Christ in the upper room, on the road to Emmaus, by the Sea of Galilee, and in a million more places over the years to come. Yes. For a moment, they were paralyzed with fear. It happens to all of us. But by the power of God's love, they were moved to join with all the disciples to proclaim the good news. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Their fear was replaced with hope, just as our fear is continually replaced with hope. Their despair, our despair, is surrounded with joy. Their brokenness, like our brokenness, is being mended with wholeness. This is the good news. Our self-centeredness, our lack of compassion, our hate, our violence, all the sin that arises from fear, all of it, by God's power, is being replaced with God's never-ending, inexhaustible, overflowing, unconditional love. Love which generates life. Life that cannot be defeated by fear or sin or death. Life that transforms the world and repaints everything with God's love. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.